Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your word. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being the best teacher, the best shepherd. Thank you tonight for opening hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, would you come and renew each of our minds? Would you enlighten the eyes of our hearts to receive tonight every single thing you have for us? Thank you for being such a near God. Jesus, thank you for your blood that has brought us near, that has torn the veil, that we have now been reconciled back to you. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise you. It's in your mighty name we pray together. Amen. All right, so Luke 1. Love it. We're going to start in verse 10. So this is the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They are the parents of John the Baptist. And it says, starting in verse 10, Zechariah was in the temple. It says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him, Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have a joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man. They're both very old. I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And then we move on a little bit to verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent. He's a busy guy. He was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. It is so good. And the thing about this passage that jumped out to me this week was that Zechariah and Mary, they asked the same question to the angel, but the response of the Lord was totally different. stick a pin in that. Can you imagine being like, side note, can you imagine being Elizabeth and asking Mary when they got together, like, you didn't ask the angel how, right? Because, like, Zachariah couldn't talk, literally took his voice away, and Elizabeth's like, oh my goodness, you asked how, and he didn't take your voice away? Anyway, that's where my mind goes. So stick a pin in that. They ask the same question, response totally different. Let's jump to John 11. It's the next book over. This is during the time that Jesus was on earth doing his ministry. There's a man named Lazarus. He dies. He has two sisters, Mary and Martha. And we're going to pick up in 11, verse 17. Like I said, we're reading a lot tonight, but this is the best book you'll ever read, so it's great. 17, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Again, we see two women saying the exact same thing, but the response of Jesus is totally different. And so when we look at these two accounts, I'm going to flip back to Luke. Jesus is looking at the heart. We are told in Scripture, he sees not as man sees, he looks at our heart. He is constantly looking at our heart, what is underneath the things that we are saying. He is looking at the heart and he cares so deeply for our hearts. And in these accounts, they are saying the same thing, but their hearts, their heart postures are completely different. And the Lord is caring and he's tending to their hearts. The questions can be the same, but the response is different because the Lord sees our heart, which is why there is so much danger to attach yourself to someone else's question and someone else's answer, because the Lord is concerned with your heart, and he is the good shepherd, and we have to go directly to him because he is going to tend to the soil of our heart and give us the answers that we need to have our hearts be purified and pruned. And in these two accounts, with Zechariah and Martha, he is looking at their heart and he is pressing on the unbelief in their heart. And that is what I feel the Lord wanting to do tonight as he comes and he tends to our heart. He wants to tend to the places of unbelief in our heart. The places of unbelief, the places where hope has been deferred and it has made our heart sick. And he is saying, oh, but my promise fulfilled is a tree of life. He wants to come and he wants to tend to the unbelief in our hearts. Why is unbelief so important? It's because Hebrews 3, I'll paraphrase. It's Hebrews 3, I think it's 11. It says, the unbelieving heart leads us to fall away from the living God. And unbelief is sneaky. Unbelief is such a sneaky guy. It will creep in slowly and it will wreak havoc on your heart. It will wreak havoc on the beliefs of the character of God. It is such an important thing to the Lord, which is why I believe with Zechariah it was so severe to even take away his voice, because the angel said he was unable to speak. Why? Because he did not believe his words. He did not believe the word that was spoken from the Lord. And the Lord saw that in his heart, and he wanted to deal with it because he cared for Zechariah in his heart. With Martha, she came and she asked that question. He said, "Do you believe me? Do you believe that I am who I say that I am?" And he wanted her to say it with her mouth, that yes, I believe who you are. Belief and unbelief. Unbelief is so, it's so sneaky and so dangerous. And the Lord cares for your heart. And so what is the antidote to unbelief? Because I can confidently say we probably all in this room are sitting here, and like, there are seasons of my life where I've fallen into unbelief in a certain place with the Lord. So what is the antidote? I love looking at both the Marys. I love both their names, Mary. Mary, mother of Jesus, and the Mary, sister of Lazarus. Both of them, there are two things that they do. They surrender and they praise like crazy. If you know Lazarus' sister, there's the other story of Mary and Martha. Mary literally is just at Jesus' feet, just staring at him, listening to his teaching, giving him all of her adoration, all of her attention. It's what she's doing. It was part of who she is, which I think is why he responded to her the way that she did, because when she ran to Jesus, she fell at his feet. What does surrender look like? It looks like collapsing in front of the Lord and being on your face, on your knees. What did Mary do? She asked the question, the angel answered how it will happen, which, can we note, that was totally not the way that seems right to a man. That angel answered her in a way that I would have been like, wait, but how? Because the way that he answered, it would have still been like, holy cow, that's crazy. But he answered her, and then her response was, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done according to your word. She knew there was not unbelief when it came to the impossibilities of God. She knew God, and she knew that he was the God of the impossible. Like the angel said, there is nothing impossible with God. And so her response was surrender. Her response was, let it be done. I surrender to the word that you've spoken. I surrender that it would be done. And then after she visits Elizabeth a few verses down, she has a whole song of praise. Before it even came to pass, she was still pregnant and she had a song of praise. How many times when you are waiting, you can attach yourself to the belief that I know that I know that I know that this is who the Lord is, and I can praise him even though I have not seen it come to pass yet. It produces this, like, this hope and this faith in you, and it tells unbelief to go. It delivers you from that unbelief, that surrender to the character of God. I know you. I have history with you. I know who you are. I'm surrendering to the word that you've spoken, and I am going to praise you within it to know that it will come to pass. Surrender and praise are such an antidote to unbelief. So tonight, it's only 8:35. This is awesome. Where's Clay? Oh, great. Do you mind playing a little bit? Okay, so I want to do something because I really do feel like tonight there are some of us who have been carrying unbelief in our hearts, and it's making our hearts sick. And I think that the Lord tonight, he cares for our hearts. He holds our hearts. They're the well. Our hearts are so important, and he wants to tend to them. And so there's some unbelief tonight for some of us. And I want to have the invitation tonight to come to the altar and to surrender and to praise. To surrender those places of unbelief where you felt like, man, Lord, I really feel like you spoke this thing. But unbelief has crept in it and has suffocated the word. It has suffocated what you have spoken. It suffocated the promises that I feel like you have given to me. And I surrender, knowing that you are the God of the impossible. If you don't see God moving in impossible ways in your life, can I say that maybe there's a correlation to how much you have surrendered to him, to the degree that you are going to surrender is the degree that you are going to see the impossible works of God in your life. And so tonight, there's an invitation to come up here and spend some time with the good shepherd. Spend some time with the teacher. The one, who put the stars in the sky. He meets with us because of the blood of Jesus, because of the one that we're going to celebrate this next week coming to earth. It is Emmanuel, God with us. He has come. We were dead in a ditch, and he said, let me send my only son to shed his blood so that you would be reconciled back to me. He is the one that's going to meet with you. He is the one we have access to moment by moment. And he cares for our hearts. He cares so deeply that our hearts do not become sick. And so tonight, we're going to spend some time just open, just praying for the places of unbelief in our heart where they have started to wreak havoc. Believing, standing in faith that, God, I know who you are. I know who you are. And I'm standing in faith to believe it. Would you hold my heart? Would you tend to my heart tonight? Even if there's something else in there that's not even unbelief. Let's just spend some time. So I'm going to pray. It's open up here. We'll be here as long as we need to. If you need to go, you can definitely go. If you need to stay, stay. We'll have prayer teams up here to pray. Oh, Lord, I thank you for who you are. Tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bind the stronghold of unbelief. Lord, would you author faith tonight, God? Faith to believe the impossible God who would make a woman like Elizabeth pregnant in her old age, God. A God who would take a virgin girl and make her the mother of Jesus. Your ways are not our ways, Lord. You are so faithful. You move in the impossible. You provide when there is no way. You always come through. You always keep your promises. So, Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for sending your son on our behalf. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and we thank you, Lord. Would you come and tend to our hearts? Whatever questions we're asking tonight, would you give us the answers that are going to tend to the soil of our hearts? Lord, we surrender tonight. And we praise you tonight. Come and have your way, Lord. You are a good Father. You are a kind God. And you are so near. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
True.